Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rich Donnelly, News 10 NBC Sports, joining us in the Sports Bar After Hours. Mike Danger here as well. Rich, it's great to have you on again. Last time we spoke, it was right before you at News 10 NBC all did something that I think a lot of Rochesterians appreciated. You look back in time at a historic event, the first game ever played at Frontier Field, and your re-airing of that game on a Saturday morning, which I think was a great escape, a Saturday afternoon, I should say, a great escape for a lot of people, especially sports fans in our area. We're doing something similar this weekend, and I wanted to make sure you had a chance to come on with us here in the Sports Bar After Hours to let everybody know about it.
Oh, and I really appreciate the time and space to be able to do this. We're showing the Game 7 of the 1996 Calder Cup Championship. It was the last title the Amerks won, and it was on home ice here in Rochester, and you know, the scene looks incredible. I remember as a kid, you know, this game happening. I unfortunately wasn't able to go to the arena to watch the game, but I remember just the absolute pandemonium around the Amerks at that time. And, you know, we're thrilled to be able to bring this to the fans in Rochester. I know that for our purposes, our original idea was for an Amerks game, although we were able to move ahead with the Red Wings faster, but the Amerks have been great to work with on this. And the stories from some of the former players and people around the organization have been fantastic. We love bringing those to people. And, it's such a point of pride to be able to show a Rochester specific championship. And we're thrilled to bring it to people. A lot of people, after we did the Red Wings, were asking for an Amerks one with many suggestions. And I wish we could go back to the 60s. We don't have full film of those Calder Cup games, but we do have the 96 game, and we're thrilled to bring it.
Yeah, it is a privilege to be able to have this platform to talk about Rochester sports. And boy, I wish that I was a Rochesterian back in 1996. Unfortunately, I moved to the area about a year later, so it was still a fresh memory in the minds of many. I had no idea how much it meant to this community to see that team win a championship, win a Calder Cup on their home ice. But you mentioned some of the stories that are being shared. You got to talk to some of the superstars from that team. Tell us first about your conversation with Dane Jackson.
Oh, Dane was fantastic. He was a profile that we did last night. He was the captain of that team. And it's interesting. Here's a guy who did get a taste of the NHL and, you know, has been around very good hockey players in his time. But he said his favorite memory in hockey was being able to lift the Calder Cup up and being the captain. He's the first one who gets to touch it. And no, it's not the Stanley Cup. But for these guys, it's the trophy they played for, and to be able to win it. And he had a funny story, and we weren't able to include everything, but he said that a couple days after the game, there was a parade scheduled. And, you know, the parade route was whatever it was, and where the Amerks were gathering, he said at first, he was like, oh man, like, I thought this was a big deal. We put more than 10,000 in the war memorial for this game, and they were all fired up. And, you know, here we are at the beginning of the parade, and I don't see a whole lot of people. And then he turned the corner, like his car, wherever parade car he was in, turned the corner. And he said there were hundreds of people just flocked on the streets. And he realized, oh, the fans were told the parade route was this specific place, not where we were in our gathering point. So for him to just remember so vividly some of those moments, it clearly meant so much to these guys. And in our conversations with a lot of these people, they were very accomplished hockey players who maybe didn't get to spend the time in the NHL that they would have wanted, But Danger, I'll tell you, they made the most of their time in the AHL, and they're still, you know, a huge deal to Rochester hockey fans.
I also see that you had a profile with Scotty Metcalf. What was that conversation like, Rich?
So he's the best. He's just the best guy in the world. Now, I will preface this with, I've never met Scott Metcalf before in my life. As far as I could tell, I've never met him. And we did our interview through Zoom, like so many conversations are these days. And it starts off, and at first he's somewhat reserved, which is not the Scott Metcalf that I had heard about. And I think he was just trying to get an idea of really what our story was and his role with the team. And while he was a focal point for the team and a key player, and Jody Gage even brought his name up a number of times, and his line specifically, he wasn't the highest scoring player. In fact, you know, he has more penalty minutes than everybody else. And he was kind of proud of getting into scraps, as it were. But at the end of the interview, he just goes, "Hey, when this is all done, let's go grab a beer and catch up." And I just, it put a smile on my face, just thinking like, okay, here's this guy who's never met me, and all of a sudden, after a 10-15 minute conversation, just talking about him and his friends and his former teammates, all of a sudden he views me as an old friend who wants to get together. And one of our overnight photographers saw that story the night that it aired and came in and was like, "What was Stitch like?" And it was like, pardon me? Like, I didn't know his nickname was Stitch, but he clearly made such an impression on like hockey fans and even just sports fans in the area. And he strikes me as someone important because he's one of the guys who stayed. And I think the Amherst players, among all others of our various pro teams throughout the years, they seem to be the largest group to have stayed in Rochester and embraced Rochester as their new home. And Scott certainly fits that bill.
Yeah, you love to see that. You love to see, I know that there's certainly some Amherst. We know, of course, some old Rochester Rhinos that have done just fine for themselves here, calling Rochester home. And I think that is a source of pride. The guy that has done it probably more than anybody is Jody Gage. And you had the chance to speak with him as well.
Oh, yeah. He started our feature series. And I mean, Danger, you know how it is. We're stuck within time restraints, so there's only so much we could show of Jody. But I mean, talk about someone who has maybe had the largest impact on Rochester sports of anyone, because he comes at this from multiple teams. You know, he's an Amherst Hall of Famer and arguably the best Amherst player of all time. And then he's so involved with the Nighthawks and then the community organizations beyond those. And, you know, speaking with him, he is so proud of continuing to make Rochester a better place. And even for people who don't know him as Jody Gage, the hockey player, he was integral with the East High United lacrosse team, which brought back a Rochester City School lacrosse program for the first time since the 70s. And I remember covering an event at a school board meeting, and one of the school board members who was presenting awards to the various people involved, you know, Sean Banks was the coach of that team at the time. And he gets, you know, down the line and he's awarding various players. And he goes, "Look, I'm not the biggest sports fan, but I grew up in Rochester and I know the name Jody Gage." And it struck me as like, wow, okay. So this guy, a self-proclaimed not sports fan, knows who Jody is. And it's probably because, yes, he was great back in the 80s and early 90s, but because he stayed here and is investing in young kids. And, you know, some of his stories were fantastic. And just hearing I'll say, look, again, I was a kid during the time of John Tortorella. Clearly there was some animosity back and forth between Torts and the fans and some of the players. And Jody just saying, like, you know, it's time to be adults. And I think Jody maybe took the high road and going, it's time for me to step into my next phase of life as a front office personnel. And that was kind of tough, I'm sure, for him to step away from the game, not under his own circumstances or how he would have wanted. But at the end of the day, we do have the video, and, you know, he does raise the cup in that 96 team. And I'm sure that was a point of pride. Yes, he was not on the ice for Game 7. But he was absolutely a part of that team in every facet.
So we talk about the players that you're featuring leading up to the replay of that Game 7. Anybody else lined up for the rest of this week, Rich?
Yes, tonight we're going off the wall a little bit. Not a player, but Don Stevens, someone who's seen more Amherst hockey than anyone in the world. And he has some great stories. And he brought up a hit. And I scanned back through the game because I remember seeing the hit and then seeing it a second time with his vision of it. Boy, was there just a monstrous hit in the second period that really turned the tide for that game. And it set the tone like none other. So Don had some fantastic stories that we were happy to implement. And then tomorrow we check in with Brian Holzinger, who scored the game-winning goal. And he was great as well. And his memory was just so vivid of, you know, let's face it, a wraparound shot in a third period from a game 24 years ago. But he remembered it to the money. And Carly Massetti did that story, and that was a really good one. I think people are going to enjoy seeing that trip down memory lane.
It's all great stuff, Rich. So the Game 7, the Amherst 96 championship run for the Calder Cup, it's airing Saturday. Give me the time one more time on Channel 10.
Yes, Saturday, 11:30. And I could just say right now, with our run of reshowing games, for all the fans out there, if you need something 2 weeks from now to have fantastic weather that you would not want to be cooped up inside, have Channel 10 do a special re-airing of a historic broadcast. Because when the Red Wings game was on that Saturday from noon to 3, the weather was special. And then after that, it got kind of crappy.
Uh-huh.
And Stacey Pengen pulled all of the strings she could, but darn it, we're going to have 70 and sunny during this Amherst game. So if you have afternoon plans, whatever, I understand. DVR the game. You're going to love it. Some great insight from some of the people. If you want to watch it live, and we certainly encourage that, 11:30 in the morning on Saturday from 11:30 to 2 p.m., we are bringing a hockey game in its entirety. We are not skipping ahead to further game action. You're seeing every second of that game, and we're taking out huge intermission chunks. I think people are really going to enjoy this.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, look, if we've learned anything during our time here during the pandemic, it's that, you know, we have a thirst for any kind of action, sports action or otherwise. And the idea that The Last Dance has reached the level of popularity that it has, you know, I think speaks to all of us kind of having a nostalgic feeling for the way things were. Now, I don't think things are going to be the way they were ever again, but it is nice to go back and reflect on some of these great memories from the world of sports, memories that happened here specifically in Rochester. And you guys have done an unbelievable job of capturing that and you know, reintroducing it to our mind's eye, whether it be with the Red Wings home opener there at Frontier Field, or what we're going to see on Saturday with the Amherst Game 7 of their 96 Calder Cup run. While we have you on, Rich, I want to make sure, you know, I get some time to talk some Buffalo Bills with you as well, because I think since the last time we spoke, the schedule came out for the Buffalo Bills, and I wanted to get your first glance impression of how that lays out for Buffalo, what you think lies in store for the Bills in 2020.
Well, I think the rest of the league has gained notice of what the Bills can do, all those primetime games, and then, you know, two Monday nights, a Sunday night game that we're very proud of here on Channel 10 that we can't wait, you know, Sunday night against the Steelers at home, Sunday night game. And then, you know, they're welcoming the Super Bowl champs on Thursday Night Football. Again, how better I it's hard to wrap words around just how incredible this is. I don't remember the Bills ever having this amount of primetime games and the exposure. And again, the one thing that I'm thrilled about with the schedule is it's not because they signed one splashy guy that the networks want to see early. This was not like the Cleveland Browns, like, will this be a train wreck? This is doesn't seem to be like the 49ers a couple years ago trading for Garoppolo and the networks going, let's get him on TV. The Bills are getting these primetime games because they were good last year and they should be better this year. Now, they're going to have to post up and win those games to keep that train rolling, but I think they have a legitimate chance at being undefeated going into that game against the Chiefs. And if that's the case, my goodness, just get me a Steadicam live shot of those parking lots for 5 hours before kickoff, because that is going to be electric.
Yeah, and the hope is that we can enjoy these NFL games the way we've become accustomed to doing it. I know you spent some time talking to the folks at the Red Pinto tailgate. I'm curious what that conversation was like and if you got into any of what their thought is in terms of what might lie ahead and our idea of what enjoying an NFL game in person might look like during a pandemic.
Oh, those are my boys now.
You're in.
Pizza Pete's son turned around. And again, we did this all via Zoom. And, you know, his son, Nick, helped organize everything with me. And he's been tremendous. But during our Zoom call, he turned around and had a bottle of ketchup. And he goes, look, I'm putting your name on this right now. You know, first home game. We need you up on the van spraying
Pinto Ron.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, like, I can't wait. And, you know, look, like everything else these days, they are cautiously optimistic and very health conscious. And it's funny because they grill with lawn tools and stuff like that. And so it's like,
they're making pizza in a filing cabinet. I don't know that they're really worried about coronavirus.
Well, and one of the women who is on the call, it was like the mom of one of the people who goes there every week. She goes, look, these people do shots of tequila out of a bowling ball.
Yes.
They have to be immune to anything.
That's right.
But I, you know, look, they said they're going to have some baby wipes on hand, as many Clorox things. They're going to try and make it safe. But they said, look, at the end of the day, if we're allowed to be together, that's because it is safe. And they're all, you know, they're optimistic. They want things to go well. And they plan on celebrating the Buffalo Bills with their new adopted family in whatever capacity they're allowed to, that is health and safety. But, I mean, they're all jacked up. One of the guys had, like, multiple airline websites up on his computer while we were doing our Zoom call, because we did the call right before the schedule release.
Mm-hmm.
We ended maybe 4 minutes before the Bills announced all of their games. And this guy said that, like, he was ready to go, locked in different airlines. He had 4 different road game flights for the price of what one was last year. So, look, I understand times are tough, but for the people who are able to take advantage of the situation, they're planning on seeing a lot of football this year.
Yeah, I have a friend who didn't hesitate on Vegas. I mean, as soon as the Vegas date was there, the airline was booked, and that's a done deal. And wouldn't it just be the bummer of all bummers if, you know, there was some kind of there's some way that we have these primetime games, but we're not able to enjoy them as Buffalo Bills fans. I mean, that would just be a terrible, terrible irony.
It's the ultimate kick in the teeth if that's the case, because here you have such a good team and such a loyal fan base who sat through miserable seasons with no hopes of legitimate primetime games. And here, not only do you have one, not only do you have two, but you are in every primetime window imaginable. And those are the 4 that are set. That Broncos game could absolutely become a national primetime window game, depending on how the season goes. So they could go up to 5, and who knows what else could be flexed in the way the season goes. Like, it's funny. Like, okay, now the league has caught up to the euphoria of the fans, and rightly so because of the success of the team. Now the pressure's on the team to deliver and justify all of these games.
Yeah, it's Josh Allen. I mean, for me, it all comes down to his play. There are no excuses. Your offensive line is back. We've got additional weapons for you to work with. You've got continuity in another system another year in Brian Daboll's system. So his play really dictates where this team goes in 2020. I think the defense at minimum will be what it was last year. And if that's the case and you need to score more points, it falls on the shoulders of the quarterback. And I think that's part of why there were 4 primetime games for the Buffalo Bills. You know, it's not to add more pressure to the quarterback, but the quarterback is the reason why they're going to be on national TV. He's a good-looking young guy. He's charismatic. He's likable in an aw shucks kind of way. And I think a lot of people relate to that and look forward to seeing him play. Whether it's good or bad, you tune in to view the train wreck.
Oh, and it's, as you touched on, it's a quarterback-driven league. Look at the primetime games that they have against Patrick Mahomes, you know, MVP, Super Bowl MVP, against Ben Roethlisberger, a future Hall of Famer, against Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, the, you know, Prince Aladdin GQ West Coast guy on a team that went to the Super Bowl last year. Yeah, the NFL is waiting for Josh Allen to have an incredible year and be highly marketable. And you do that by putting him as the only game in town on a Thursday night, a Sunday night, 2 Monday night games.
Yeah. Rich, it's exciting stuff. I hope that that we have the chance to enjoy it the way we've become accustomed to enjoying it. One thing that I'm curious about, if you've heard anything, because before we get to the regular season, we've got to get to training camp. And boy, I know we can't really predict what tomorrow looks like, let alone late July into August. But have you heard anything about the Bills and their plans for training camp at St. John Fisher this summer?
I've heard nothing specific that is locked down 100%. The only thing I've been told is that as of right now, and again, we're more than 2 months away from the even being a week away from reporting, so to speak. Right now, the hope and the plan is to do everything normal. Obviously, some things are going to change. We know that to be a fact. But right now, I have not heard any definitive change in this. You know, of course, they reserve the right to make a change of their mind should health concerns be there. But, you know, we certainly have our fingers crossed that everything is as it was last year. That's, again, very cautiously optimistic. But right now I've not heard a difference or change into what their plans have been.
All right, Rich. It's great catching up with you as always, and continue the great job that you're doing there at News 10 NBC. The Amerks, Game 7, Calder Cup clinching championship game from 1996, airing on News 10 NBC Saturday morning at 11:30. And I highly suggest checking out News 10 NBC for all of the features leading up to it. Rich, on your Twitter feed at, what is it, at WHECR Donnelly? Give me that Twitter feed.
Yep, it's at WHEC underscore R Donnelly. We've been posting a little preview and inside look at all of our feature stories every day coming in, and we'll continue that through the end of the week. And the Amherst told me that during the game, they'll be live tweeting various information about Game 7 and that season as things come up throughout the game. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun for all the hockey fans. And, you know, I've certainly been hearing from you on the internet so far, so it'll be a fun time to get together and enjoy what will truly be the last AHL game of this season.
Oh, God, it hurts to say, but, you know, I appreciate
it. Well, we're ending on a good one.
Yeah, I appreciate you delivering something that we can all look forward to, Rich. This is great stuff. Thank you so much for carving out some time out of your day, and let's do it again sooner, right, bud?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate
it. Rich Donnelly, News 10 NBC Sports, joining us here in the Sports Bar After Hours with me, Mike Danger. Gene Battaglia joins me in the Sports Bar again tomorrow for a brand new episode. We appreciate you listening wherever you enjoy podcasts, including ESPNRochester.com and the Radio.com app. Stay healthy and talk to you soon in the Sports Bar After Hours.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.